you're listening to me, Liz Earle, with Wellness with Liz Earle, the eighth episode of my audio wellbeing magazine, where we take a closer look at all things wellbeing. And today's topic, all about the menopause, specifically the perimenopause, is, yes, unabashedly female. And I know we do have quite a few male listeners too, but hang in there, as well as many, many younger women listening in. Do please, all of you, stay tuned. And yes, this one is definitely for you too. Whether you are going through the symptoms yourself, or your friends and work colleagues are, or your wife, your mother, girlfriend, or maybe you're just curious about what the future may hold and how best to prepare for the inevitable, then this one is very much for you. So today it's just going to be me talking, and I'm going to be sharing some of the information and the research I learnt as I wrote my little ebook called Healthy Menopause, which is up on Amazon right now. And I'm slightly embarrassed, ashamed even, to say, just within this circle of trust, that despite being immersed in the world of wellbeing for over 30 years and writing so much about how to look good, feel good and stay well, I went into this writing project in my early 50s with actually very little information indeed about what I was myself actually experiencing. I actually thought that getting pregnant with my last child when I was 47 was a sign of the menopause. When my period stopped and I started to feel tired and hormonal, I thought, oh, must be the change. But no, for me personally, it was something else. And actually, I was just a few weeks away from my 48th birthday when I had my little boy, my last little boy, who is definitely the last, and actually defied all the tabloid scare stories about older mothers. And he's possibly the healthiest and brightest of all my five children. Don't tell them I said that. But being the subject of an older mother is probably best kept, I think, for another podcast. So I will keep that one for later. That'll be interesting, won't it? But what my own experience here did mean, though, is that after my hormones had settled down after all the childbirth and breastfeeding and that whole rigmarole, I was then faced with the certain knowledge that I was definitely going through some kind of a more fundamental hormonal change. And that's partly what prompted me to spend time researching the subject and then writing my Healthy Menopause ebook. I have to say, I find it astonishing that so little is talked about the menopause and how women get through it, how they get help. Even how few women talk about it amongst ourselves. I mean, I remember when I was pregnant, I found so many pregnancy and baby support groups, postnatal depression support, breastfeeding, social media communities, new mums clubs, you name it. And yet virtually nothing seems to be out there for the huge raft of women who will inevitably go through the menopause and also be affected by the symptoms of this to a greater or a lesser degree. Now, I know that this subject is vast and multifaceted, so this programme is really designed just to be a bit of an introduction, an overview really of what happens, just what to expect for yourself and how we can support our friends, our mothers, lovers, colleagues, all those wonderful middle-aged females around us who in fact may well be feeling a bit fragile and in need of a few helpful strategies to better cope and get on with their life. And that may include caring for you. So caring for the carer is also very helpful, even if a bit self-centred to think about. So let's kick off here with a mini biology tutorial and look at what we're talking about here. So the menopause, also known as the change, and in some medical circles as the climacteric, correct me if I'm wrong, affects almost all women at some point during our lifetime. It's a natural stage in our lives, but still something that we don't really talk very much about in any detail or very openly. And lots of women actually know very little about it until they experience it, until they're thrown right into it for themselves. And I think many women don't realise just how the menopause may adversely affect their life, both at home and at work. Not always, but often. The symptoms can start suddenly and they can come as a bit of a shock. And that's because the symptoms tend not to be talked about very much. In fact, we may not even realise that it might be perimenopause that's causing these symptoms in the first place. And that in the great majority of cases, they can be really easily treated effectively and safely. So What is perimenopause, I hear you ask? Well, that is the time leading up to the end of your periods. Menopause literally means a pause or a cessation of periods. Menopause, that's the end. But as we know, it's not usually an overnight thing. It can be, but it's not usual. It's more often years and years of hormonal change during our 40s and our early 50s that leads to this. And so this is the time known as perimenopause. And frankly, this is the time that women, myself included, most often need help with. You know, I was literally talking to my hairdresser yesterday and asking all the usual questions, how she was, how the kids, and she said, oh, you know. So I said, how old are you? And she said, well, I'm 46. I'm really tired. I'm anxious. I'm finding sleep really difficult. And I said, well, there you go, 46, bingo, perimenopause. Get yourself down to your GP and discuss some options to replace the low levels of estrogen that will almost certainly be causing your low mood, anxiety, sleepless nights. These are really common and very easily treated. And because you may still be having periods when you get these symptoms, you often don't think. You don't think that you're menopausal because nothing else is going on. You may not even have a hot flush. You know, there may be no weight gain. You may be feeling completely normal apart from the terrible lack of sleep. And actually, I know as busy women, you know, we can do a lot in our lives, but if we don't sleep, then so many other wheels start to fall off the wagon. Now, all the menopause symptoms are caused by fluctuating low or no levels of hormones. And so the hormone treatments, that's HRT, hormone replacement therapy, that are available to women now are very much safer than many of us might think. And they're actually much more naturally derived and body identical than the preparations that used to be used in the past. Most of them come from wild yams. It's often given in the form of a gel, and these are widely available, not just privately, they're widely available on the NHS. It's the kind of thing that your GP, NHS GP, would be giving you. And not only are some of the scare stories linked to an increase in breast cancer just plain wrong or over-exaggerated, HRT can also be very helpful, not only for menopausal symptoms, but it's also been shown more recently to reduce our increased risk of heart disease, stroke, and osteoporosis. So there are many benefits to look at, and it's a subject that really is very well worth exploring. There are also a few non-hormone and complementary treatments and therapies available, and these can obviously sometimes ease some of the symptoms. A combination of these treatments, plus, I have to say, greater nutritional knowledge about what we're eating and drinking, more awareness of the power of exercise to help, and let's just have a few frank, open discussions, really can enable the menopause, I think, to be an event in a woman's life that can be embraced head on and, more importantly, perhaps fully prepared for. A few simple shifts in the way we think about our health, our attitude, much more openness on the subject, and yeah, some simple changes to diet, lifestyle, what we're eating, what we're drinking, maybe some hormones as well to help replace those that we're losing as we go through the change, will help women to enjoy life to the full during this time of what is, let's face, natural change. And I think the best personal advice I can give is keep talking. Keep talking about the subject to your friends, your GP if necessary. You know, a problem confronted and shared is so often a problem halved or solved. And it's reassuring to know that you are not the only woman suffering with a symptom, or somebody close to you is not the only woman to be having this experience. And especially you'll find it so common in this slightly older age group. And there is almost certainly going to be a solution or a treatment. And I find it curious that there is so often this dread, this fear of tackling this subject. We talk about monthly periods pretty openly. Sanitary protection is advertised all around us in the Western world, often very bluntly, on billboards and buses, pulling absolutely no punches with its vocabulary, showing menstruating women as strong, determined, beautiful. And we all know very well that a woman's life does not come to a full stop 1 week in every four. And we take steps to ensure that this isn't the case too. So why is it that menopausal women don't share the same positive image or positive attitude? And it's possibly because the menopause is often not openly discussed and its symptoms are frequently secret, ignored, not dealt with properly, maybe not even recognised as being menopause related. As I said earlier, if you're perimenopausal, you may not even know it. And a very common attitude is, this is a natural process, therefore I will just put up with it and wait until it's over. But how often do we do that with other things in our lives? You know, this symptom of a natural process could take 10 years or longer to be over, and it may very negatively be affecting your life right now. So let's deal with these symptoms sooner rather than later and give ourselves the best possible chance to have a happy, healthy and a productive change of life. I think there's still a fear coupled with acceptance that the menopause is a time when women have to suffer hot flushes, cold sweats, headaches, indecisiveness, depression, vaginal dryness, mood swings for years and years, maybe well over a decade, until they finally fall into a grey-haired incontinent heap of disintegrating bones. But if we take a look around us, we can see that that is just not true. Many menopausal women are confident, happy, fulfilled. They may even be at the very pinnacle, peak of their career and all lives as mothers, taking great pleasure in whatever they're doing. They're the ones likely to be either the one in five who have no symptoms or the ones who found workable solutions that will make life easier. And in the 21st century, the message to some of us, especially here in the Western world, is that in order to be beautiful, we have to be young. Doesn't that then follow that if we're old, we're unattractive, and any outward sign of ageing is a cause for dismay? Well, we only have to look right now at Madame Macron across the channel to see that that is plainly untrue, as well as all the other countless older female sex symbols from Helen Mirren to Cindy Crawford, Elle Macpherson, Elizabeth Hurley, Iman, so many more besides, all of whom are almost certainly either perimenopausal or menopausal. No, youth does not equal beauty any more than fertility is the same as femininity. And this time of life is a good moment to take stock and begin to appreciate who you have become and what you may still achieve and do or even want to change. It's worth pointing out, I think, that at the beginning of the 20th century, in 1916, life expectancy for us women was around 56 years old, meaning that many women didn't either reach the menopause, or if they did, they had a very short one. The huge majority of us now will reach our menopause, and some of us will live with it and then after it for a relatively, or possibly very long time, maybe 30 or 40 more years. So it's well worth being aware of the symptoms and, of course, dealing with them as quickly and efficiently as possible. Who wants to live for 30 or 40 years with menopausal symptoms? Now, as I mentioned, the menopause is a time after many perimenopausal years. And the menopause happens when ovaries finally stop producing eggs. And as a result of this, the levels of hormones called estrogen and progesterone have completely fallen away. So while they're tailing off, this is the whole process of perimenopause. And each month, hormones are made by the pituitary gland in the brain, and they're released into the bloodstream to prompt ovaries into producing estrogen and progesterone. And these two hormones, estrogen and progesterone, they're the ones responsible for puberty, but they also have the important job in a woman of preparing the lining of the womb to receive a fertilized egg. That's what they're there for, so that the egg can grow into a baby. And then if no egg arrives, this lining is shed and it's lost in the flow of menstrual blood. And after a few days, the monthly process restarts and it goes all over again. And it's at this time of the menopause that the regular monthly cycle here stops. But just as estrogen is linked to fertility, it also works in lots of other very diverse and important areas of the body. It affects our brain, bones, heart, skin, hair, and so much more. So you can see low levels of estrogen are affecting many different areas of our body, not just fertility. And having hormone replacement therapy is just that, replacing the hormones that are declining or have disappeared altogether as we age. Now, I know there is a lot of fear and scaremongering over HRT. I had it too until I started researching my books. But you can just look at it as a natural replacement of natural hormones that are no longer being produced by the body. And I actually find it slightly ironic that women who have happily taken the synthetic hormone contraceptive pill for years suddenly become wary of taking a body identical hormone to replace what's missing and become fearful of that. Now, obviously, you should talk to your doctor about this, and there is no one size fits all here. It really is something that you do need to go and have personal, individual conversations with your doctor, either a private doctor or your GP. But do be aware that the breast cancer scare studies that have been so exaggerated, in many cases, the results really have been taken out of proportion, especially when talking about the risk. So it's well worth talking to a doctor who knows their stuff and who specialises in the menopause. And I don't mean expensive Harley Street, potentially rip-off doctors who charge thousands for bioidentical hormones. I'm talking about your GP or maybe a female partner in a medical practice. Or if you don't get any joy there, you can even ask to be referred to an NHS menopause clinic, of which there are a growing number. And in fact, I'll pop a few notes onto the podcast notes here that we always offer our newsletter subscribers. And you'll also find lots more on this in my small and very easily digestible ebook, Healthy Menopause, which is a mere snip at £1.50 on Amazon, or it might be £1.99, depending on what they do with their discounting. But either way, actually, it's packed with really good stuff. So if this is something that's relevant for you and you want more takeaway information, then do please head there to take a look. But it's not just about estrogen. There are other very important hormones that we should consider here. There's progesterone and even testosterone. Now, all women have testosterone in their body. It's not just a male hormone. And I know many of us think about testosterone as a male hormone, which is correct, but women need to have it too. And in fact, this surprised me, women produce three times as much testosterone than estrogen before their menopause. Amazing. So we're making lots of it before the menopause. Where does it all go? And what happens when we don't have it? Well, testosterone is actually made in our ovaries, and it's also made in our adrenal glands. And these are the little tiny glands that sit near our kidneys that are involved in stress, and they also help to maintain muscle and bone mass in women, as well as testosterone contributing to sex drive and libido. It's probably best known for this, isn't it? But testosterone also helps with mood, with energy, and with concentration. And I know women who've taken it who say suddenly they are able to have clarity of thought and a kind of crispness of thinking that was being denied to them before that. Now, unfortunately, testosterone also, like estrogen and progesterone, it declines with age. And although it's not medically licensed specifically for women, some GPs do prescribe it to women with low levels. So they just adjust the dosage so that you don't end up growing a beard. Although you might need to nip a few stray chin hairs if you take testosterone. So worth investing in a magnifying mirror. Do you know, this whole subject is so vast. It's a bit like my gut health podcast. Once you start to unravel it, so much more opens up. So this really is something that I do think we're going to come back to time and time again here on this show. And I will be joined by specific specialist experts. So we may take up one particular subject like testosterone, for example, or perimenopause or early onset menopause. So there will be a lot more happening in this space in the future. So do sign up to subscribe if you don't want to miss the next gripping instalment of Healthy Happy Hormones especially. And that is, I'm afraid, all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. My team here at Lizelle Wellbeing and I do so appreciate you spreading the word. You know, we've seen so many great comments and shared thoughts, a wonderful community, actually, on our Lizelle Wellbeing Instagram and Facebook pages. And we love reading these, so do keep them coming. And they really inspire us to think about other subjects too. Now, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And perhaps you might even think about leaving a review to encourage others too. And as I mentioned, we do produce a set of podcast notes from each episode. And you can get a copy of these simply by heading over to lizellewellbeing.com. And you sign up there for the free weekly newsletter, which will not only bring you these or access to these, but also a bit more wellbeing news, some new recipes, offers, event tickets, and a whole lot of good stuff as well. You'll also find a series of video clips, which I film here at my Wellbeing Studios. And these are also free, aren't we generous, to download and view. Simply go to lizellewellbeing.com and you search Watch Liz. And you'll also find, of course, the whole library of these on YouTube, on the Lizelle Wellbeing Productions channel, which, of course, you can also subscribe to. Well, I'll be back next time with more wellbeing thoughts and some inspiration. So until then, thank you for tuning in and go well. Bye-bye.